Hey everybody, and welcome to the Sportfolio Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Mergola. This is episode 6 of the show, and it's being recorded midway through the 2018 NFL season, and actually after one of the worst weeks I've had on record in a long time. And believe it or not, and it's going to sound a little crazy, but bear with me, I'm actually looking forward to recording this episode, and have been for quite a while. Now, I have not wanted to lose for quite a while, but I knew this day would come. I knew that, you know, one week was going to be bad and was going to kind of put a dent in all the numbers that had been working so well. And in conversation with other people, in preparation for these episodes, I always knew that there would be a time when I would have just a flat-out bad week. And that is in itself an important topic to touch upon. So I always knew I'd get to this point, and that when I would, this would be the focus of the episode. And actually, I usually record these on Mondays or Tuesdays. Or I start recording them on Monday or Tuesday. I've waited till Wednesday this particular time because I did not want anything I was going to say here after the losing week to infiltrate anything I was going to write. So my article is out now. It's at sportfolio.com like it always is. And it has all the picks for this week, confidence picks, every single game broken down, the usual stuff. But I purposely opened up this column, this week's column, with just a flat out, like, that was bad. Like, my bad. We had a really bad week. And I knew I was going to write about that, so I didn't want to use it directly in the podcast episode and then spell it out for myself. So I worked in reverse order. And I did so for a number of reasons, and I will get into those reasons. Because losing NFL picks, losing any picks, really, is just as mental as winning. And honestly, there's a lot of mental tricks that you have to play when you're winning. So we need to be careful on both sides of it. And, you know, we've done quite well, especially since this podcast started. I think we've had maybe one losing week prior to this, and this is the one really bad one. And one of the problems that happens with losing weeks, and this is exactly what I mentioned in episode 1 when I talked about the, you know, general premise of this podcast, I do not want to be making excuses, or I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses. We lost games because we picked the wrong teams. Plain and simple. That's why we lost. However, there's much, much more to it than we were wrong and the ball didn't bounce our way, which happens, by the way, both good and bad. And I've actually talked about that, where the ball has bounced our way, like literally bounced in the direction our team needed and led to a win. So it's on both sides. But the point is, let's look at just on an overall sense what happens on a given week. Now, my picks follow a fairly consistent, usually predictable pattern. I take a lot of underdogs. I take a lot of teams that were beaten down in earlier games. And I have many reasons for this, which I expect to get into, you know, over the many, many times that I record these. And if not, I've certainly said it in my writing and will continue to write about it. But I tend to pick teams that I refer to as undervalued. It's a word I say all the time. It's a word I write all the time. I look at teams as if they are investments. And which investment is undervalued? Now, this doesn't mean that it's a good investment overall or all the time. It just is currently at a price that is less than what it should be. So that's how I view just the general landscape of the National Football League and any pick I put into. In fact, I would say that's probably how I view any pick that I make. I like to lean on the underdogs, and I like to do so because, especially when we're going against the spread, you have a cushion. You know, you have literally points that your team is getting that gives you some flexibility. Maybe your team doesn't win the game, which is always nice when they do, but, you know, if they lose by 6 and they were underdog by 7 points, great. You just won that pick. So I tend to like to take the safety net where I can get it. That's just how I approach these games. That's one way. The other way, like I said, is undervalued teams. Now, what's an undervalued team? An undervalued team is one that you look at and immediately you kind of scoff or maybe even throw up in your mouth because you just think that is one of the worst teams I've seen this year. They're terrible. They're never going to win a game. I like those teams. Why wouldn't I, right? Crazy. And conversely, and this is the big one, and I made a whole episode about this, I don't like teams that are overly popular. Why? Because, as I said in the episode where popular picks will lose you money, popular picks have a premium built into them. They have a level of what's essentially called optimism built into it. It is the expectation that that team will continue to produce at that level. And it's just not feasible. So, you look at those factors. You have popular teams, you have unpopular teams, which obviously are on opposite ends of the scale, and you have underdogs. And when my picks lose, you have a few different scenarios that could play out. The first is, and this happens every once in a while, just missed it by a few games, plain and simple. We had a week where there would be, I don't know, 14 games, and we had a push mixed in there, so there's only 13 decisions, and instead of going 7-6, which I'd like, we went 5-8. We just missed. So be it. I should not dismiss that. I don't like when that happens. I like that less than what happened last week. The reason is, there was really nothing to it other than bad breaks, and why couldn't that be a good break for us? That's it. Nothing more to it than that, and that's why I say so be it, because technically, it's not crippling, but it's just annoying. It means that we could have won that game and just didn't. But what makes me concerned about those weeks is the possibility that in that week, where, let's say we went 5-8, really all I care about, out of those 8 losses, let's say like 6 of them were underdogs that actually won or covered their beat their spreads. That would mean that we missed and missed on something that usually I lean on. I don't like when that happens. That's when I get worried. But if we look at last week, now last week I'll use specific numbers. I went 3-10 overall. Sounds terrible. It is terrible. But favorites went, I think, and these are the numbers I have anyway, 8-5. So on a week where favorites did awesome, I did not. That is a better outcome, believe it or not, than underdogs doing great and my picks going like 5-8, like I just said in that example. Meaning, if we're going to lose, we are going to lose with the system that's in place. Understand that, because some of you listening don't actually read my picks, which is fine. Read whoever, I say this all the time, don't go at it alone, read somebody's picks, go in with something, have some sort of system that you trust. It does not have to be mine. It doesn't have to be me. So read somebody's work who has put in the time to break down these games. But understand what's happening in a losing week. If you have a system, and it's mine, yours, that you developed yourself, or somebody else's that you're reading, either any one of them is fine. If you have a system and you lose because you didn't follow that system and the picks would have won, that is unacceptable. If you lose because you followed your system and it was a bad week, you move on. Now, I say this because in my system, it is, again, against the popular teams, for the undervalued teams, and heavy with underdogs. And like I just said, underdogs did poorly last week. You know what else did poorly? Undervalued teams. You know what else did great? Popular teams. So if you look at the landscape of what happened on my worst week, we had the most popular teams winning and covering their spreads in convincing fashion. And we had underdogs losing at a pretty high rate. And we had all the undervalued teams. Now it just happened to be that there were many undervalued teams against popular teams. So it was a double loss as soon as that went against me. But I'm looking at the entire picture, and I'm fine with it. Would I have liked more wins? Of course. You know, I don't want to lose. I don't want the people that read my stuff to lose. I care about how everyone does. It bothers me when we have a losing week. But, and I'll say this, and I mean this from the sincerest bottom of my heart. There were many, many, many of you who lost last week with my picks and did not tweet, email, or essentially come back at me and ask me what's going on. And I give you total credit for that. Now, I don't care if you tweet at me or email me and say, you know, that was terrible, Mario, what's going on? But I say it because it really didn't happen. Like, there were not, I don't know if there were any really that were bummed out. Now, I shouldn't say that. They were bummed. But I don't think anybody came back to me, and I mean this specifically of the people who have read my stuff for a long time, and were just flat out unhappy. It was more of a, well, that was bad, and kind of moved on. And I say that, and I hope those of you who did this are listening, because it is a sign that we are all on the same page now. I mean, I have been writing for Sportfolio. This is my third year for Sportfolio, just for this website alone. Now, it's the one I created, but there's a community of people who have been here for multiple years. if you stretch that back further, I've been writing these picks publicly for years longer than that. I think this is my fifth year of publicly posting every single game of the NFL season. It's something like 1,000 picks by now. And to know that on my worst week, especially the people who have been around for a long time, didn't really take exception to it. Because, and if it's one of you, please, I'm telling you, I am so proud and pleased right now, because you get it. You get it. You get exactly what I'm saying. And there's no way to do this and say this and not sound either arrogant or like not in tune with what's going on. That's not the case. I said it the year, now I'm going off on a tangent here, but I might as well. The year where I had my worst season to date, and now I said this is my fifth year of writing this publicly, it was my one losing season in the 5 years total, and that includes this year. Now, if things turn south, I hope I didn't jinx it, but I'm willing to run that risk because I know what I'm doing here. But in that one season, I got a lot of questioning what's going on. You know, this is, how could this be so bad? Blah, blah, blah. I get it. I totally get it. But here we are, 2 full years removed from that, and after the one real bad losing week, there was no comments because we've gone through this. We know where it was. We know where it's going. And if you're looking at the numbers, we lost 7 games off the record this week, technically, you know, 3-10. And we are still way up on the season. We are way, way above 500. We are in a excellent winning position still. So I am nothing but pleased with the, not only is it upsetting to lose because I just feel bad that I cost anyone money or I cost anyone a chance at placing higher in their pools, but I get upset because I know, like, these are the people who have put their trust in me, and I don't want them to come back to me and I have to put myself in a defensive position. I don't like that. However, I understand it. It's part of the deal. My point is that really didn't happen this week, and it came after one of the worst weeks you could possibly get. So let me back up off this tangent and get back to my main point. That is, we are not only not going to win every week, but we are going to lose weeks where things go wrong against our system, but we did not deviate from the system. And that is all we can ask for. I mean, imagine, here's a better way to think of it. Let's imagine you're rolling a pair of dice. You have to roll, I don't know, 100 times, okay? And the numbers add up, obviously, from 2 to 12. You know, if you roll 2 sixes or 2 ones, lowest you can get is 2, the highest you can get is 12. And let's say you have to roll a 6 or better, which means that 2, 3, 4, 5 loses. So I'm not even going to do the math, you know, off the top of my head, but the point is you have a better chance of winning out of 100 times if you roll these dice to get a 6 or better. Why? Because the odds are in your favor, right? Follow me on this one. It's a little convoluted. But you roll those dice, and it just happens that out of 100 rolls, you only land on 6 or better 45 times. You know what that means? You lost. But honestly, you did everything you could in your power to get it right. You had the odds in your favor, and it just didn't play out how the odds tell you it should have. I mean, it's just sometimes a bad break. And the difference would be, now, if you can move the numbers that you want, and you could take a bigger risk and say, you know what, I'll double down, and maybe I'll take worse odds, and I'll roll an 8 or better, but I'll have to do it 20 times. You know, maybe that works for you. Maybe. But the point here is, if your system allows you to continually produce at a certain rate, and that rate is a winning rate, when you lose those weeks, you have to accept it and move on. This is why I wanted to do an episode after a losing week, because it feels so bad. You know, it's such a terrible feeling to be sitting there and counting the losses and saying, oh, everyone went against me. It feels bad. But then you scroll back and you zoom out and you look and you say, well, wait a second. I didn't lose because I made a mistake. I lost because the numbers did not play out in my favor. Now, here's the real incredible phenomenon that I see constantly. I have to write my articles on Tuesday and Wednesday. Or I should say, I have to publish my articles by Wednesday afternoon pretty much every week. It used to be by Thursday morning, but I'm done by Wednesday afternoon. Very, very rarely Wednesday night. So by Wednesday, all of my thoughts are out there. All of my numbers are out there. All of my spreads are out there. I don't move anything. I can't move. I never change a pick. And the one time in the past 3 years that I changed the pick after I wrote it, I made an edit to the article. I tweeted it out. I highlighted it. I made sure everybody knew. And guess what? It lost anyway. So it just proved why you don't do it. But my point is, by the time people wake up Thursday morning, and this is a key day in the schedule, by the time people wake up Thursday morning, everything I've said and done is already in stone. It's out there. I don't know what's going to happen with the spreads over the next few days, and I don't know what's going to happen with the perception of teams. I don't even know what's going to happen with injuries. It is, I would say it's a negative. Maybe like it's a price I pay for doing this. However, and I'm extremely proud of this, it doesn't seem to be a real problem because this is how I've been doing it for years, and the numbers are what they are. The numbers are positive. You know, the records are winning. So I don't say this in any way to sound like, oh, woe is me. I can't change anything. I don't want to change anything. I say it because I can't gauge the market after I write about it. I can only project what I expect it to be. Meaning, there are times when talking to people, reading stuff, and I don't do too much of this because I don't like to get too many influences, but just, you know, you can get the general sense of where people land on certain things. There are times when by Wednesday, people haven't even looked at the spreads for the following week. They don't have any idea where they're going to land on a certain side of a game. But by Thursday, they do. And by Thursday, there's a lot of people who do put a lot of money on these games who show up and start to essentially move the spread either in the direction I liked or against the direction I liked. Whatever it is, I have no control. I don't go back and move anything. My point is, when I write my article, that's the number I'm using in that moment. And I'm using that number against the perception I see in that moment. I can and I do project ahead. What do I think the perception will be in a few days? But I can't do anything with the number. That's a tricky thing to explain. So I use the best example I have. And actually, ironically, it's one I used in the podcast from last week. So if you wanted to go back and listen to it, it's a short one, not entirely necessary because it was very specific to week 9 of the 2018 NFL season. So it's not necessarily wide ranging that you can use in other capacities. But still, at the time that I was writing the article, the Denver Broncos against the Texans, Denver Broncos were 2.5-point favorites to start. By the time I was almost done and speaking through the podcast of last week, the Broncos had moved to, I think, 1.5-point favorites. And by the time I actually was ready to publish it, they were pick 'em, which means there were no favorite, no underdog in the game. Okay? And at the time I had said that I would like to see more people pile onto the Texans because I expected the trade from the Broncos of Demaryius Thomas to the Texans, ironically enough, to give the perception that the Broncos don't care about winning or, you know, that they're ready to rebuild, whatever. So the point is, in that moment, both before I wrote it and as I'm about to publish it, I am trying to solve where the number will be and where the perception will be. So the number I used was Broncos -0.5 because even though they moved to pick 'em in one spot, they were -0.5 in others. And little to my knowledge, after that game or after my article is posted, the Broncos actually gain a point. And by the time the game begins, they are 1.5 favorites. Now, this is significant for a number of reasons. It's significant because at the actual end of the game, the Broncos were kicking a field goal that they should have hit, and it would have given them a 1-point win, a 1-point victory, which would have not let them cover for anybody who picked the game after the article was posted, but would have given them the cover for anyone who picked it basically on Wednesday of last week. And the reason I bring this up is there's just no way to know where that number is going to land. So I can't bother projecting that because the number is going to move by the market. It's going to move by what people tend to start to like over the course of the week. And the number can't change on my part anyway, so it is what it is. What I do have to project, and this is what I said in the podcast, is the perception over the next few days. So specifically for the Broncos and Texans, I never really got resolution that people were going to buy into the Texans afterwards. That bothered me. And sure enough, the game ended up being a loss. And it was a loss that was right on the edge of those numbers. It was, I mean, it was really, really close to what it should have been. But the key here is that while I can't know how the perception is going to play over the course of X amount of days, that perception moves a lot of factors that can either confirm or deny what I think. Now, it doesn't matter until the game's actually played, but what happened was, and I would not have known this as of Wednesday, the picks that lost, ready for this? I read that by the time Sunday was over, there were 12 games played. All 12 went against the sports books. All 12. Now, I only read this in one, I don't even know if I read it in two places. I know I've only read it in one article because, quite frankly, people use different numbers. So, you know, this past week was not so much where it, other than that Broncos kick had gone in, really didn't teeter on the edge too much where you could say that some people had wins and some people had losses. However, the bundle, the entire bracket of games that was played on Sunday, every single one of them was against the people who make the odds. I mean, that is incredible. So now you add a fourth factor to what I mentioned before about my own system, but it's not really a factor that goes into picking the games. It's a factor that we can look at afterwards. So you have popular teams, unpopular teams, underdogs, and then you have teams that are going to cost the sportsbook money. That's how I like to look at it. Who's going to burn the sportsbook? Because the sportsbook is not going to get burned. I say it all the time. The industry is not going to lose more than you, simply put. So when the industry loses, it's not going to be sustainable. Now, the point of what I was making before is I don't know where the industry will lie by the time I make my article. I only know where I think it will be. And believe me, if I could always be on the right side of it, I would. You know, that's another thing I wrote in the introduction of this week's article. If I knew when we're going to have a losing week, I just wouldn't have a losing week. I mean, that's, you know, if you knew when you were going to throw an interception, you would just audible out of the play and run the ball. But we don't. So if you look back, you can see what you could, maybe you can't see where the mistake was, but you can see what happened, just what unfolded. So now we have, in a week where favorites went nuts, in a week where popular teams were unbelievably successful, in a week where unpopular teams, as a result of popular team success, did poorly, we also have the sportsbooks who make the numbers getting absolutely destroyed. And now I look and say, okay, if I'm going to take a 3-10 in any week, that better be the week it happens. I can't afford to go 3-10 in a week where the sportsbooks do great, underdogs do great, popular teams were terrible, and unpopular teams were winning left and right. I can't have that happen. And whatever your system is, neither can you. Because here's the next problem that comes into play. And this is where it takes practice. And this is why I wanted to do this episode. There is a voice in your head, and sometimes if you're like me and you write the articles publicly, there's a voice in your head from other people. There's a voice that tells you, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you shouldn't keep picking against the Chiefs. Maybe you shouldn't keep picking the Browns in years past. And believe me when I tell you, that was not just a voice in my head. That was repeated emails, repeated tweets, constantly. Maybe you should stop picking the Browns. And my response was always the same. Yes, if you look back, you can say, maybe I shouldn't have picked the Browns. But the more the Browns lose, the more likely they are in the dwindling amount of remaining games to beat the spread. Just like the Chiefs continue to be perfect or near perfect against the spread, the longer that happens, the more likely that is to change, which means the more likely they are to lose against the spread. So part of the difficulty we face is to not buy into changing our method for any reason if it is proven historically successful. Now, if you're just starting out, if you're making your own picks, if you're testing a system, yeah, all right, you might have to tweak it as you go. But we are not tweaking here. We are not starting out. This is multiple years. And there's no way to say this and not sound bad. I don't say it in a sense of like, you know, these picks are always the best. They're always going to win. They're not. They're not always going to win. They didn't win last week. And you know what? They won't win in any week where popular teams go crazy, underdogs are terrible, and unpopular teams do poorly. That's most likely never going to produce wins for my style of picking games. Now, underdogs and favorites, I do move over the course of a season. If underdogs have absolutely killed it for like 4 weeks in a row, I will make sure I don't go too heavy in underdogs, you know, for the next few weeks. That one is a little more flexible because those numbers do tend to change. But the system is still built, whatever the system you have, it's still built on long-term success. And if you've had long-term success, you better not move away from it because of one or two bad weeks. That is why, after a loss, it's one of the beauties of what I do, at least for myself. I have like a day to decompress and then get right back into writing for the next week. Not everyone has that, and I understand that. But you know what? Go do something else. Go step away. Go have a hobby. Go read something. Watch a movie. I don't care. You will soon enough be right back into the swing of it. If you make your picks on Thursdays, and that's the first day you do it, then you do it on Thursday. You know how hard it was? I'll be honest. How hard it was to not write on Monday? But I don't write on Mondays. That's a rule I've set for myself. The only exception I make is on a week like probably like Thanksgiving, where I have to make sure that all the picks are done by Wednesday morning. And usually, it has no ill effect on the outcome of the games. I win as many as I normally win. I lose as many as I normally lose. It hasn't changed. But I have found that if I start writing on Mondays over a long stretch of time, it starts to hurt me because I'm too aggressive with what I just saw and I didn't give it a day to settle. That's me. That may not be you. But my point is, after a really bad losing week, it's really hard not to want to get back and make it up. But if your system is to not write or plan or look at stuff on Mondays because that's not what you do, then you don't do it after a loss. And conversely, very important here, you don't do it after a win either. One of the reasons why I started this podcast is because I don't write on Mondays and because I still wanted to talk about the sport. I just love it. You know, I love these games. So I wanted to be able to decompress it another way. Because quite frankly, I'll talk to anyone who wants to listen about football on a Monday. I just won't write about it. I won't put it down, you know, on the screen. I won't put my fingers to the keyboard and make a definitive statement anywhere. If anything, what I've liked about talking through it on Mondays is I get to kind of vent what I just saw and find out, is that going to be real by Tuesday and Wednesday? And a lot of times, the games I've talked about has worked out well. So I say this because at the end of the day, you're going to have great weeks. You're going to have terrible weeks. The middle weeks, you know, the mediocre ones, they're not mediocre. They're the ones that make or break your season. They're the ones that you are slowly chugging along, winning ideally one or two more games than you lose every week. It's all we want. Go 8-6. Go 8-7. Go 9-7. Go 9-6-1. That's how you win in the long haul. Those are the weeks that whatever you're doing before and after, you keep doing. When you go 12-4, you better go back to what you were doing when you were 9-7, because that's the sustainable number. When you go 3-10, you better go back to what you were doing when you were 9-7, because that's the sustainable number. At the end of the day, you want to remove your outliers and go with your true average. And if your true average has always been positive or always trended in the positive direction, that's the one you want to stick with. That's the one you want to emulate. That's the one you want to repeat as often as possible. I say this at the end of a losing week because I had to go through it where I told myself, do not change your thought process and start writing on a Monday. Just forget it. Do something else. And I did. And by the time I started writing on Tuesday, and I finished it by late Wednesday, I was excited to put a microphone in front of my face and talk about it. I hope you can hear it in my voice right now. I mean, is this the tone of somebody who just went 3-10? This is somebody you would think I won last week. But I am excited for two reasons. One, I knew I would stick to my plan and not change how I approach these games. And two, by the time I wrote my article, by the time I finished 14 games, I sat back and said, man, I really like this week. And I don't know if I would have felt that way had I vented everything I needed to vent before I started writing, because that's not how I do it. That's not how I approach it. I was excited because I had planned to talk on a podcast about a losing week after it happened. And then I had to fight myself to say, wait, write your article first, starting on Tuesday, because that's what you do. When your article is done, then you can talk. Because this cannot infiltrate what you wanted to say in writing. And here I am, proud that at the end of the day, that's how I approached it. However you approach it, continue doing so. I think that's probably good enough for now. I say this with true sincerity in my heart. I am inspired by how few people were really just distraught by the picks, because there were really none. And I am inspired by what I saw when I found out that the odds makers got crushed this week while my picks got crushed this week. That means my system that usually tries to project where I should be was fine. So I urge you to do the same. Find your system. It does not have to be mine. It doesn't have to be anyone else's, as long as you put time into it. I prefer, if you're just starting out, that you use somebody's system. But whatever it is, stick with it. Because that's the only way that you're going to be able to survive a week like last week and know that you're going to come back. Now, here's the other thing. I should mention this. This is the real flip side of this, the true flip side of this. Because the sports books did so poorly last week, your general football bettor did awesome last week, which means there, and this is exactly what I said during my losing season, there is an insane amount of overconfidence right now. There are people who, and this might be you, and I apologize if I'm insulting you when I say this, but it you have to hear it. There are people who don't know what they're doing, who had success over the last few weeks, and are going to think that is a sign that now they know what they're doing. Please don't approach it that way. The exact opposite. If you've never had success before, and this is the week where everything clicked for you, that's not a good sign. This is an unsustainable outlier week. Please be careful. That's it. If you don't want to use what I'm saying, it's fine. Be careful. Don't get too aggressive. Don't put too much more into it. Don't take what happened last week seriously, because I'm telling you, forget my picks for a minute. The sports books got destroyed, and that is not going to keep happening. In fact, it didn't really happen all year until these last few weeks. So if your few weeks have been good and the rest of them bad, my goodness, that's a sign. Get out now. At least slow down now. That's the opposite of my picks, what I do, and how I approach it. But it's also worth saying, I can't, you know, I know not everyone's going to listen to what I say and read what I write, but if nothing else, be careful with your own approach if you've only found success in these outlier weeks. That's not something that's going to be sustainable. Just like losing after winning for so many weeks is not going to be sustainable. So whatever side of the coin you fall on, know what side of the coin you fall on, because it's important to know where you stand. If you can't assess yourself, you're not going to assess the picks you make, at least not accurately. So with that being said, I will end it here. I actually look forward to hearing from people who listen to this. If this struck a chord with you, let me know, because this is such a powerful message to hear, that, you know, there is the winning and losing mentality you have to battle within yourself. And these are the weeks that really kind of define what you do, because they're not supposed to define what you do. They're not supposed to say, hey, I'm really good at this, or I'm really bad at this. These are the weeks that are supposed to say, ah, that was off. Let me move on. So let me know if that connects. You could always tweet at me, at Mario Mergola. You can even send me a direct message. I'll try to respond. If not, and I should have given this out more, I usually respond to contact@sportfolio.com. And of course, if anybody, I say this every week, if anybody wants to get the picks, you put podcast in the promo code, and I'll take 10% off the first payment of any package. But if you just want to go click around and read the introduction and send me a message, please, sportfolio.com. Otherwise, tweet at me, at Mario Mergola. And if you like what you're listening to in the podcast, please subscribe in there. We're now on iTunes. So if you like it, please rate it. You know, the same usual stuff as always. But I'd be interested to see if anybody heard what I had to say here and realized that there is a bigger picture at play. And if you know where you stand in it, you know how to progress through it. So with that, I'll sign off. And thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for reading what I write. And good luck.